I am joined in studio by the president of Bath Community Hospital, Jeff Lingerfeld. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Danny. Thank you.
Well, welcome back. You've been here once before. And so, although me and you aren't strangers, maybe I'll just reintroduce you to the listening audience. You've been the president and CEO of Bath Community Hospital for almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years. Be 4 years in August.
4 years in August. The time is fly. So, you know, let me ask you, what drove you into healthcare administration?
You know, I started out, Danny, in long-term care. And I was very, very close to my grandmother, and a lot of people commented later that they couldn't believe I was so close. I loved to go visit my grandmother, spend a lot of time with her, so I was always comfortable around people who were aging, and there was, I heard so many great stories from seniors, and felt like I gained a lot of wisdom. And from that, I went into long-term care administration and then evolved into hospital administration. So that was, I give my grandmother the credit. I just, so much wisdom there. And even today in the hospital, you know, at Bath Community, we have the larger percentage of our patients are seniors. Right. And they've had so much life experience, and there's so much to be gleaned from their wisdom.
Well, you know, Bath County and the listening area writ large, Highland County and Pocahontas, you know, we all share similar infrastructure. It's small community rural living. You know, what are some of the unique challenges that you face at Bath Community Hospital that maybe come from the fact that we are a smaller community?
Sure. You know, I think we have challenges that you're not going to have if you live in a Roanoke or a Charlottesville or Richmond. We can't provide meet every need, and when we are unable to do that, fortunately we have a helicopter that will fly in and get you out to where you need to be if it's very urgent, if it's a trauma situation. I think we had about 36 helicopter flights last year, so more than three times a month. And you know, I think what we can do, we want to do very, very well, and I believe we do.
Well, you know, one of the challenges, and I guess that administrators across the country are facing, is, you know, how do you provide the highest quality medical care while also sustaining financial viability, like, and especially in an area like this? I mean, I imagine that that's the hardest part of your job.
Well, from a financial perspective, you were right on you hit the mark, the nail on the head, if you will. You know, rural hospitals across this country are closing at an astounding rate. I think there have been 90 rural hospitals that have closed in the last several years. And the reason they're closing is because they don't have enough revenue to keep themselves open. And you think about when a hospital closes, the effect that it has on that community. People leave the community because they've lost their job. People have to go outside the community for health care. And we are so blessed and fortunate at Bath Community Hospital to receive a grant every year since I've been here from the Letty Pate Evans Foundation, which is about $5 million a year. If it were not for that grant, we could not exist in our current form. They are, we're just fortunate to get that, because financially we lose, you know, $3 to $5 million a year. We just don't have the volume to support standing on our own. So I'm grateful, and this community should be very grateful for that grant that we get every year.
Well, if you're just tuning in, the voice you just heard is that of Bath Community Hospital President Jeff Lingerfeld. You know, Jeff, we've been talking about sort of your background and the challenges facing rural hospitals and rural communities, but, you know, what are some of the, and without sort of breaking trust, I don't want you to give trade secrets out to maybe some competitors, but, you know, are there sort of any innovative strategies or ways that, like, you know, technology is maybe helping make your task a little bit easier?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked that. You know, we had it's amazing how you can have what you think is a bad event turn into something that was a positive. We had a fire about a year and a half ago in our imaging department and destroyed the x-ray machine. And the x-ray machine was getting close to end of life, but those are very, very expensive to replace, and anywhere between $750,000 to $1 million to get an upgraded x-ray machine. But we were blessed to be able to, that machine was covered by insurance, and so we were able to get a brand new machine, state-of-the-art machine. And in the imaging department and the techs that came to install that machine were like, we can't believe we're putting this kind of machine in this small of a hospital. We have never done this before. So, you know, we're just fortunate to have that kind of technology available to people locally.
Well, you know, I know that also there's been some update to the computer system there, and, you know, patient portal, I believe, you know, something to streamline and to be able to communicate the health needs of patients to potential providers across the spectrum. So talk about that a little bit, if you will.
Okay, I sure will. And we are up to our elbows in it right now. When I arrived, it became obvious to me that the electronic health record that we were using was somewhat dated. We'd actually had it for 30 years. And then we had a separate health record for our clinics. So those systems did not talk to each other. And it involved, providers would have to, if your clinic provider was going to try to figure out what was going on with you and you had a recent emergency room visit, they had to go to a different system to look up what happened there and then try to integrate that into your clinic visit. So the board in their wisdom decided that, you know, we needed to bite the bullet and to get an integrated electronic health record. And for a hospital our size, this was a huge decision. It was a $7 million decision. And we had entertained this idea on two other occasions and had backed away from it. I'm not sure why we backed away the first time. The second time was the pandemic, and the pandemic was all-consuming. So we backed away, and then we pulled the trigger last August, and we are in the process and nearing completion of the installation of that electronic health record, which is called Meditech, which really will travel with you wherever you go. So if you're in Richmond or Los Angeles, we would be able to send your electronic health record there, and the provider there would have the latest information that we had regarding your electronic health record. And it's I'm excited about what it's going to offer to our patients and our community, and I applaud our staff, which are doing their everyday jobs and at the same time working with Meditech to get this installation complete.
Well, you know, I'll tell you brought up staff, and I know that over the last few weeks and months, I've seen some new faces around and some publicity, right? You want to talk about some of the new folks you got in?
Oh, yes. We are so fortunate, and we've had, probably since we last spoke, Danny, about five people come on board. And most recently, we brought on Brittany Baker, who is a pediatric nurse practitioner, and she is currently working in Covington, but we plan to have her also available in Hot Springs. So, you know, there's children up here that need to be seen as well. So Brittany had a very large following at her practice in Covington before she joined our team, and very talented young lady, a graduate of the University of Virginia, but also a native of Allegheny County. So, okay. And the other person that we brought on board, I guess in December of last year, Jessica Perkins, again, a native of Clifton Forge. She and her husband live there, and she has four children, but is seeing patients in our Covington Monroe Clinic. Angelita Hansford just started in March. Angelita comes to us from Carilion. She is a physician's assistant and had worked extensively with Dr. Sadovi before joining at Carilion. He came to us 2 years ago this month, and then Angelita joined us last month. And she is a specialist in wound care and diabetes. She also does nail trimming. And she will see many of Dr. Sadovi's patients pre and post-op. So just really excited to have Angelita on the team. She is, again, a local individual from Covington. I think somehow she's related to the Coochies, if you know Coochies. Okay. Restaurant. So Angelita's really bright and talented, and we're just happy that we can provide this service because, you know, she was seeing people at her wound clinic in Lexington that were driving from Covington and Clifton Forge and Bath County. And so now they're not having to drive. They can just schedule an appointment with her either here or in Covington. And then two other providers, or I guess three other providers we've added. Michaela Kern, again, a young lady from Covington. Just really happy. She's been with us almost a year. And Jessica Perkin, I mentioned Jessica. I did not mention Eric Gutierrez. Eric is a, and you probably know the need in this community, is a behavioral health specialist. Right. And Eric joined us back in November. He is just been a wonderful addition to our behavioral health team.
Well, if you're just joining us again, that's the voice of Jeff Lingerfeld. He's the president and CEO of Bath Community Hospital. What we're going to do at this time is hear a underwriter, but I am joined in studio by Jeff Lingerfeld. He is the president and CEO of Bath Community Hospital. Thus far, I think we've had a fairly robust conversation. I feel like I've learned some things. When you think about the outcomes that we see in our country, you know, healthcare related outcomes, it would be disingenuous of me as an interviewer not to talk about the fact that we do see, you know, various outcomes based on income and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and so as an administrator, how do you sort of go about making sure that those disproportionate outcomes maybe don't land in Bath Community Hospital? How do you, right. how do you, you know, navigate that?
Well, there's no question, Danny, that there are health disparities, and our responsibility is to do the best we can to level the playing field. And, you know, if you look at why do most people in the world file, or in the United States file for bankruptcy, it's medical debt. And so what that also tells you is that people oftentimes put off medical care because they don't feel like they've got the resources to pay for it. You know, at Bath Community Hospital, we write off about $1 million a year. So, and those, we do provide a mechanism for charity care or bad debt write-off. So when you combine those two and you look at that number, it's over $1 million a year. And we as an organization do about $18 million in revenue. So we're writing off a very big piece of our revenue because we don't want anyone to delay or not get health care that they should get because of their resources. And I think Virginia, I've got to compliment the state because I've been in states where, you know, the Affordable Care Act, maybe the state didn't want to pick up the Medicaid portion of the Affordable Care Act, but Virginia has done that. And by doing that, it really does provide a level of support that really isn't available in a lot of the other states. And when I was talking about some of the hospitals earlier that are closing, rural hospitals, many of them are in states that are not as aware or as sensitive to the health disparities as Virginia. So I'm thankful that I live in right. Virginia.
Well, you know, and the challenges of staffing a hospital, sort of the brain drain that you face from not being in a larger city, you know, factoring all that in, you know, how do you sort of try to foster or cultivate a positive work environment, a place that people maybe don't want to leave once you can get them here, you know?
Right. You know, I think a lot of that comes down to leadership and to creating an environment where people feel appreciated and their work is valued. Because at the end of the day, most of us want to go home and put our head on the pillow at night and think we've made a difference. And I can tell you that we've got a large number of our staff that make a difference every day. And I've had, you know, I've gotten letters and received letters in the mail. Actually, I can think of three in the last month from individuals that said, I am so glad that Bath Community Hospital was here. I received outstanding care. And I'll just briefly touch on a few of those. One, we had an individual that was a young man who was involved in a head injury, and it was a pretty significant issue. He was brought to our hospital, and pretty quickly it became apparent that he really needed to be in a neurological unit and needed to be transported out. the weather was so bad he could not be flown out, so we were going to have to do a ground transport. We had staff who, we typically don't put a nurse in the rig because we have a paramedic in the rig, but we put a nurse in the rig as well as a paramedic because the situation was so serious that this individual was bleeding from his ears. And the staff also got on the phone and contacted one of our emergency room providers who was not working and told them the situation. And I'll mention Dr. McRae. It was Dr. McRae on his off day, met the ambulance and followed the ambulance to the hospital in Roanoke. And, you know, who does that?
Right.
And that's an example of some of the, you know, just the outstanding staff that we have. I ran into an individual this week in the hall who had written a letter 2 weeks ago who had to have an emergency appendectomy. And he lived over on the other side of the county in the Millboro area. And he said, you know, I had heard that, you know, you were just a Band-Aid station. He said, but you're much more than that. And he said the fact that they identified that I was in an emergent situation, the ER doctor called Dr. Sadovi, who came in on a Friday, which is typically his off day, and the surgery team came in on their off day. And did his appendectomy, and he said, you know, I just can't say enough about you all. So those are two examples of, right, I think, the things that separate us. We had a lady admitted earlier this week who the physician said, I feel like you probably need to go to a higher level of care. And the lady said, I've been there, this particular hospital, and I was a number, not a name, and I want to be in Bath County.
That's awesome.
So, you know, that speaks really so highly of the staff, the incredible staff that we have at the hospital.
Well, over the last couple months, I mean, you know, your Facebook feed, the Bath Community Hospital's Facebook feed, has been sort of filled with some accommodations that you guys have put together. You want to talk about some of those?
Sure. You know, last year we were honored. I mean, really, we were honored as one of the top 100 critical access hospitals in the country. And there's 1,400 critical access hospitals. So for us to get that recognition, again, it speaks to the commitment of the staff and the leadership team. And then this year we were recognized about a month ago from Press Ganey, which Press Ganey does all of the customer satisfaction scores for hospitals across the country, hospitals and clinics. They actually have over 40,000 clients. And our emergency department was rated in the top 5% of everyone they survey.
So you
think about that. I think it goes back to the people are recognized and they're not a number, they're a name. And many of the community members know really all of our emergency room doctors by name. And so the care that they get from our physicians and our staff in the emergency room, because, you know, it's not just the physician, it's the medical assistant and the nurse who oftentimes have the interaction with the patient. And then I would be remiss if someone said, well, that's maybe not that important, but I think this point is important. Our housekeeping department was recognized as in the state and nationally as being in the top 5% of housekeeping. You know, when someone's in the hospital, they get a survey at the end and after they're discharged. And one of the questions is, was your room clean? Was the housekeeping staff friendly and supportive? And, you know, for us to rate that score out of, you know, in the top 5% of all the hospitals, that's just not critical access, that's all the hospitals in the state of Virginia and then all of the hospitals nationally, speak to the ladies and gentlemen who work in that department who really are committed to doing an excellent job. And it reminds me of a story. Many years ago, I met a lady when I was touring for a potential job opportunity, and they were showing me the hospital room, and they said, oh, here's a room that's vacant. There's just the housekeeper's in here, but there's not a patient. Would you like to stick your head in the room? And I said, absolutely. And so I stuck my head in the room and looked around, and I introduced myself to the lady who was cleaning, and I told her who I was, and I said, and what's your name? And she said, my name is Margie Stone, and I'm just a housekeeper. And I said, well, Margie, what would happen if this hospital just had infections running through it? Mm. You know, I said, what the job you do is so important. And so when I saw that we were recognized, our housekeeping department was recognized, it really does speak to the important work that they have to do. So we have a great team there.
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking time to come in. You made the show better. I really appreciate you. Thank you. What we're going to do now is we're going to hear a ticket giveaway, get back into the music. You're listening to Allegheny Mountain Radio.
Thank you, Danny.